What a beautiful day. Doing a princess and or the priest recording.
You are.
Yeah.
Sun needs to rise a little higher so I'm not blinded.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Lisa's boutique world.
I have a boutique world?
Will have one of those planets that kind of goes in sync with its sun so that you can always be in the band that you prefer, you know. One part of that planet is always night, and the other part of the planet is always hot and horrible. But there's this wonderful band in the middle where you can have things. Right. Everything is exactly
it's like Twilight.
Where you want it to be.
It's like Twilight all the time.
Well, all you have to do is move to the condition you want at any particular moment, right?
Oh, I don't know. When I'm cold, I enjoy the warmth of the sun. When I'm hot, I enjoy the cool of the night.
You'd be like a permanent snowbird. You'd just be moving from the one condition that you really want that day, and then you move to the next condition.
Well, if it's my own planet, I should have power to be able to say, clouds, go cover the sun. It's too hot.
To a certain extent. But I already know that these kinds of planets aren't exist, so it's not like you're trying to break basic rules of everything.
Anyway.
She can just have a mobile castle that she can move into whatever place she wants it. Because over the years, I've discovered that my gorgeous and wonderful Lisa Jane has a little box around Tuca Kiri that constitutes her tolerance level in a climactic way.
Yeah.
I've often tried to get her to move to other places for climate. Yeah, she don't want it. Although, I speculate that she might go to some place colder if she was able to bring her fireplace with her.
Oh, yeah, like fireplace.
Absolutely. So, there is a potential thing there, but yeah. And then, of course, the other problem is the word lazy in the dictionary should have my picture engraved because I am. At least I seem to be far lazier than I will readily admit, which is hilarious because I usually admit it all the time.
Well, I'm glad you say it, because if I said it, that would make me seem like I'm really
nasty person.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be nasty. I will gladly be nasty for you.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about it. You know, I was thinking about...
I said something nasty about my mom and people in Relief Society, and people just kind of looked at me, and I was like, she's the first person who ever said it and told me about it. I'm just repeating her words. So, anyway, good.
Oh, you're fine. I was looking at this property. There's three acres or so for sale, just on the very edge of Tuca Kiri. It It's great enduring virtue, which may not be a virtue at all if it doesn't really work all that well. Is that it had a well. So the well has not been used in who knows how long. Although it looks like the actual property had been used by somebody for until recently. It was put on the market to get rid of it. I think the price is still a little high because it's just piles and piles and piles of junk.
Oh, yeah. A dump site.
Yeah. Whoever it owned it had pretty much just taken all their stuff there that they couldn't figure out how to get rid of and dump it there. And I was only buying it for its well.
You aren't willing to clean off any of that.
Oh no, I wouldn't spend any time, money, or effort trying to make any particular improvements on the thing. Although there is several parts of it where they just didn't have enough gumption to put junk on it, and that they hadn't cleared. And that place had, and those spots had some possibilities. You'd mostly ignore the other places in favor of the fact that it happens. Anyway, but yeah, but I'm lazy. You know, I always plan like I'm not very lazy, but I am. I'm grotesquely lazy. And, I try not to be lazy in the whole aspect of being a righteous person. But I think there are far too many people, and I don't count myself as one of them, who thinks trashy people are all going to burn in hell. I don't think they will. Particularly, at least for that way of being. Although plenty of people treat them as if they will be. You know, the ultimate sin in most places is to be trashy. Whether in your dress or in the place that you live or any of those things. I'm not saying it's a good thing to be, but what I'm saying is I don't think it is the ultimate sin that, like most communities, make them out to be. Lisa won't live that way.
No.
Yeah. Which is fine. It does not bother me. Like I said, it doesn't mean being a clean freak is the greatest virtue. It doesn't mean that being just a hoarding slob is necessarily a bad thing. But that's neither here nor there. Lisa and I have often differed about many things. Lisa's a hilarious person. She worries
I do
grossly right. about money and having enough money. And then we do something, and what is implicit in us doing something is that we are going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars turning it into something decent. And I think that's funny. It's just as bad as me being lazier than my procurement is. Lease is also about 1,000 times cheaper than she wants to be with her acquisitions. Our acquisitions, pardon me. You know, everybody has their thing. I don't think Heavenly Father gives a hoo-hoo about any of that particularly. I think it's one of the things that Brigham Young slipped into the scriptures to try to get people to have nice houses. I think it's one of those things. just seems like the poor and the humble, which usually have the fewest resources to make things nice, God says that they're much more likely to go to heaven than a rich person, which has much resources and has a tendency to be, I don't know if tidy is the right word, but have nice things attended to nicely. Has the very old Ming vase that everyone knows. You should get nowhere near in case you were to topple it over and destroy it, and therefore, you know, raise the ire of the owner. I don't know. Yes. I'm obviously getting into things that Lisa doesn't like me to talk about because she's being terribly quiet.
I thought you wanted me to be. You didn't want me to interrupt you, I'm sure.
Go ahead, if you'd like. Most of these recordings are basically to kind of stir up Lisa's ire so that she'll say something. She rarely says things unless she's somewhat miffed.
Or passionate about something like the truth, or,
I guess,
you know,
sure,
or an injustice done being done,
there it is.
Or it's not like I'm a social justice warrior.
I'm grateful for that.
But there are things that I see in this world that are wrong and should be righted. And, of course, they may not be righted because, you know, God is...
God leaves a task to him.
Or there's a reasoning behind it. Kind of like when Elma and Abinadi, Elma and Amulek were watching, you know, had been in prison. They were watching all these women and children being thrown into this fire. And Amulek is like, shouldn't we pray and put a stop to this? And Alma's like, no, I don't feel inspired by the Spirit to do that. You know, God's going to punish those who, you know, are killing these women and children, and their spirits will cry out for vengeance, and the Lord will, you know, because of that witness against them, the Lord will make them pay.
Yeah.
So
they can't punish people for evil they haven't done. You have to let them do evil if that's their propensity.
Yeah.
Because God's trying to figure out what kind of people we are. Him intervening too often at all screws up the system.
Yeah, I mean, I could be angry at somebody saying, I could kill that person. But I would never, ever in a million years do that. Because that's not me. You keep trying to get me to get a gun for my own protection. I would never be able to pull that trigger. So I don't want it. I don't even want it around. And more than likely, somebody would take it out of my hands and use it against me.
That's why I wanted to get you that little one that has a pepper spray round.
Yeah, that one.
I don't think Lisa would mind doing that to somebody.
Yeah, but
especially with the justice.
I wouldn't feel so bad, like I would kill it.
No, you're not going to kill it.
I couldn't kill somebody.
But you're going to make them feel like they wish they
would. I couldn't have a gun. I couldn't do it.
Okay. Well, it's not like I really pressured you.
No. But I'm just saying, I that's not within me. I cannot do that.
But I know that many women...
Oh, I'm sure.
given firearms...
Oh, yeah.
And start, you know, practicing with them. They really get into it. Because I think it gives them a feeling of power that they felt like they never had. Anyway, yes. So, yeah. I think we've got things. I think everybody has things that it's hard for us to be honest with ourselves about it. Where it's like, I would never tell anybody, you know, I would never tell anybody I was lazy. And you go, well, you might as well. They already know it. Having you not saying it makes other people think you're kind of trying to trick them. I'm all about setting those expectations kind of up. And then, not being quite as lazy as I may make myself out to be. I think I would rather err on the side of not being as complimentary to myself as I probably deserve. As opposed to most people who are way more complimentary of themselves than their real actions would say. Not expecting too much out of people, you know. There's so much disappointment in the whole world. They go, I don't expect much of people. I expect people to be kind of self-centered jerks about most things. And therefore, I'm never disappointed. And basically, their actions, we still want to set high standards, but it's like, I don't anticipate the vast majority of people. That's why, like, when people talk about the different degrees of glory and stuff like that, I tend to be the guy that says, oh, I think that the telestial, the least glory will be just chock full of people. That's why they always say, it's like the stars in the heavens. There's billions of them. You can't even count them. And you go, yeah, to accommodate all of the lackluster people that go there. The terrestrial kingdom is full of people who, I used to think it was a lot of socialism there, and I'm not saying it's not a lot of socialism there in the terrestrial kingdom. But I think it mostly has to do with people being disciples. The big question between the celestial and the terrestrial kingdoms are, who are you really being a disciple to? If it's Christ, you go to the celestial kingdom, and that's good. It says, but even a whole lot of people who swear up and down they're Christians. And you go, well, not only do you have to say it, you kind of have to act like it, too.
Yeah.
It says, so you'll get plenty of people there in the terrestrial kingdom who kind of follow after pictures of Jesus, you know.
Will you just go around me? Quit kissing my butt. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, Texan.
I used to drive in traffic. And so there used to be a bumper to bumper with everybody.
Yeah.
I live out in the middle of nowhere because I don't like that.
And it's like he said, plenty of chances to go around me. And he waited and waited and waited. And it's like, and meanwhile, he's kissing me. It's like, oh my gosh.
Right.
If I slammed on my brakes because a deer ran in front of me, I'd be crushed from both ends.
I sometimes worry that Lisa might be primarily judged by
my road rage.
Yeah.
I do a lot better than I used to.
That's good.
I don't call people names anymore.
Improvements, a good thing. It's going to get you further along. Absolutely.
And I'm not as loud vocally as I used to be.
Right.
So I'm working on it. It's getting better.
Okay. Well, we have this friend. I won't name him. He sits passed on. It's not a big deal. But still, I just won't bother naming him. He went to the branch, the LDS branch here in Tucumcari all the time, but he was not a member of the church. He didn't ever get baptized. He kind of kept himself aloof, I suppose. He was probably one of the better people who understood things said the Doctrine and Covenants far more than most Latter-day Saints did. Who don't really know what anything says because they never read anything, you know? Grew up in the church or, you know, I got baptized, but I read a couple of things like the missionaries told me to, but I never really, you know, I'm not a reader or something like that. I'm not saying I'm not, but anyway. He loved the Pentecostal preacher he had when he was younger.
And he baptized.
And that person baptized him. And he stood by that baptism because of his love for that preacher. They go, well, then he's definitely a candidate for the terrestrial kingdom. Because the biggest person probably he will want to seek out to spend time with and to sit at his feet and drink up what's being said is probably that preacher. I think the terrestrial kingdom will be chock full of groups of disciples along, hopefully, along with their masters, mistresses, whatever. Those who they practically worshipped in life. Because we're the same people on the other side of it. If we haven't develop that kind of worshipful attitude toward Jesus and Jesus alone, and you're just going to have a whole bunch of people listening to tape recorders, looking at some image of whatever they really worshipped, you know. I think it has to do with a devotion. If you really didn't devote yourself to anything, you're going to the Telestial Kingdom. That's easy. If you really devoted yourself to something, but it wasn't Christ.
I don't know if you're devoting yourself to devil worship. That could land in the
Telestial. Depends on what it tells you to do. It's not a perfect thing. But it certainly has a certain amount of devotion to it. Of course, the funny thing is usually the thing that you are devoted to in life that will probably follow you into the eternities are things that aren't going to be in the terrestrial kingdom particularly. That's why I say, you know, you're going to be sitting there with rapt attention looking at a picture. There's a lot of people that kind of think of that, you know, that see Jesus that way. That's why I say be very careful to know Jesus Christ and to worship that the Jesus Christ that you truly know. I would have to say there's going to be a huge bunch of people there that are going to be sitting there looking at icons of Jesus, pictures of Jesus, you know, the Jesus that they wanted. And that's why I get so weird about, like, unconditional love. Just because we should be very careful about what you're devoted to. Because that is what the terrestrial kingdom is chock full of, is devotion to things that weren't true. But that's okay. You'll be able to sit there and you'll be able to be around a lot of people that are that share your same devotion. And that'll be pretty nice. You guys will all take care of each other, and you'll be nice to each other, and you'll have great dinners, and, you know, and it'll be great. You know, you'll just hang out with your peeps. Yeah? And I think that's mostly what it will be about. A group of people that shared a similar devotion. And there's going to be a lot of Jesus loves me so much. And guess what it's going to buy them? It's going to buy them pretty much what they think it's going to buy them. They're going to be somewhere with people that they love. They might even sit down and call it Zion. You know? And there will be pictures everywhere of Jesus just hugging on you and doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, you'll have exactly what you want. You'll feel just this huge bow of love. And you go, that's great. You go, but I don't think it'll be a special kingdom. And certainly you won't be working for God. In Jesus Christ, which is what the celestial kingdom is. It is God, Inc. You know, places to live, places to stay, work to do, that forwards God's agenda. If you qualify to be God yourself, you'll set the agenda. It will suspiciously look almost exactly like our Heavenly Father's agenda. Because
suspiciously, huh?
Yeah, suspiciously. Because to get to that kind of status, you will have adopted His purposes, His goals, and His means. You will be like Him. That's what Christ always says. Be like me. I'm like the Father. And when you're like me, you'll be like the Father, and then you'll have everything that the Father has, and we'll all enjoy exaltation together.
Yeehaw!
Do you see it yet, people? Kidding. You don't just work for God. That's being an angel. And there's plenty of people who adore angels. I remember this one lady I used to work with in Bora. And she just adored everything angel. She had angel little things around her, and she had angel screensavers on her computer. So I was her technical support person. And let me tell you, I think her greatest desire in life was to be an angel. Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. Now you're going to have
but
to want.
I think that maybe because she
things.
Didn't know
what?
That there could be bigger things being offered to her.
Oh, that.
And that maybe. She thought, well, I want to be an angel because that's the best I can do. Because she doesn't know that there's more. You know what I mean? She doesn't know that she could become like Heavenly Father and become a God.
She's been like taught not to think that way and to abhor that idea. She much preferred being the person that goes and comforts the little kids and stuff like that, you know. I don't think she wanted to be a God. If she wanted to be a God, she probably would have gone for a more expansive job than the one she had. She just wanted to be the person that did good things for people. Which was great, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a very angelic thing to do. Especially if you don't have anything else. That's why it's like, well, you don't want to be, I could never be, you know. We talked about in Sunday school, I think I kind of skewed the whole discussion that people got. People usually get offended by the things I say. That's pretty normal. Because I challenge their strong beliefs in everything. And one of the strong beliefs that a lot of Latter-day Saints have is that everybody wants to become like God. And like you said, well, they just don't understand what their possibilities are. If they knew what they could do, they would do that instead. And you go, I don't think that's true at all. I think the vast majority of people really want what they want. And it manifests itself, and that's their definition of heaven.
Okay.
Huxley.
Aldous Huxley.
Sorry?
Aldous Huxley.
I think it's Aldous. He had a brother that had a name just like it. So I'm always worried about saying that for fear I was going to involve his brother somehow.
Okay.
And at least I get that impression of him. Anyway.
Mr. Huxley.
The Brave New World. It was Brave New World, but there wasn't a thumb before. Anyway. A book that I've read several times. And it's a weird tract of social engineering. And I don't think he needed to go through all that stuff trying to convince people that they were okay with being less. I don't think that's even necessary. I think many people want to be less. You know, kind of like, I just want to be an angel. I just want to go and I want to...
Sit on a cloud, play my harp?
Well, no. Listen. I want to go and put a cool cloth on the forehead of somebody who's feverish. You know, I want to
be the guardian angel of this little child.
Yeah, you know, and that's how they kind of see it. You go, that's fine. Is it? That's not God's job. Although people swear it must be Jesus' job for the way they tend to describe it, right?
Yes.
He came and he held my hand and took care of me.
He
goes,
he wrapped his arms around
me. To be his job. He'll send an angel to do that.
But you know,
I'm not trying to tear up their belief system, but they're toying with things of saying, you just don't know what Jesus Christ is up to. He's deep in creation. He's not sitting around trying to help you get through your trials in life, particularly. Other people have that assignment, and it doesn't make Jesus less, and it doesn't make those angels more. It's just what their job is. Sorry. Go ahead. You're going to say something.
I mean, there may be some people that Jesus does step in because he has always felt close to them.
Maybe.
You know?
I'm not saying he's barred from doing such things.
No.
I'm just saying that of everybody who's going through the program of mortality, and it's a program, it's a process,
I mean, it's like...
almost factory work.
It's like my sister, when she was being confirmed a member of the church, receiving the Holy Ghost. And the guy who was doing it, he stopped talking.
Right.
And for several minutes, he was quiet. People kept waiting for him to say his name, and just confessing it. And then he kept going, and then ended it. And then he went to my mom later, and he said, I suppose you're wondering why I stopped in the middle of that blessing. And she said, yeah, I was, kind of. And he said, I was told that your daughter was one of Christ's best friends in the pre-existence. And that because of that, Satan will try everything to bring her down so that she cannot be with him again. And so I'm sure that if there were times that she might have felt Christ's arms wrapped around her, maybe it was Christ, because...
It could have been. I'm not saying it's
not. You know? But anyway...
All I'm saying is the vast majority of it's not going to work that way.
No.
Just because it can't. He's a physical person. He can't be in a thousand different places to soothe everybody's needs.
Yeah, but
there's a system to handle that.
I think my mom forgot about that.
Yeah.
And my sister made a lot of choices that would probably not allow her to be in his presence again.
Oh, well, maybe so. I
hope not, but, you know, I hope I'm wrong. Sorry. But you never know. Hey, it's Christmas vacay. No kids around.
It's vacation in Grady, New Mexico.
Anyway.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not telling Christ what he can and can't do. He can behave any way he wants to. It's kind of like the general authorities, too. And you go, you know, there's 17 million members of the church. Would not all those 17 million do better? Have a more interesting experience if all of them could have a deep relationship with one of the apostles? Sure, maybe. You go, but they don't, and they can't. I don't know why people think that Jesus is... I'm sorry. I guess my problem is I don't see Jesus as Superman. I don't think he can be in 2,000 places at once. I don't think there's a constant stream of consciousness through his head that tells him everything that's going on and what everybody's doing and things like that. He says, I'm sorry, I think it's an organization. Says, and that doesn't bother me. I think it would bother many, 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 many people to say, so I'm just kind of a number. You go, no, you're not a number. So I don't know how it works. But you've also got to be careful not to make deity impossible. Which is what most people do. They have generated a God that is impossible. And in doing this, that's exactly what the atheists have always said. Your God is impossible. So Christians are bad. Most people aren't. Other Christians too. About solving that problem by saying he's indescribable, or making him so distant, different from us that he's inscrutable. You just can't know. And you go, but there's plenty of scripture that talks about that the most important thing is to come to know God. And people tend to ignore those scriptures because it just does not work in their worldview that says God does things that are impossible. Things that we can't do. And you go, I don't think there's much of that at all. I think the basic problem is we don't know what we're capable of. And like frogs in a boiling pot, we keep each other down. There's something to be said for, I don't know, Scientology, things like that, that try to open up our capacity, our capability, what we can actually do. I don't know if the methods are any good. This is, but I don't think the concept of becoming such a thing is what, you know, we are gods. And people go, oh, you can't say that. That's evil.
It's blasphemous.
Yeah.
That is scary.
And you go, you know, no. This is now, you guys don't like that. I don't know if it's because churches like you paying a whole lot of money for them to keep you out of hell. And that's what their basic purpose is to take in your money to keep you out of hell. Says that's tricky. Because they can't keep you out of hell. Christ can make your time in hell short, but he isn't going to do it unless you repent.
Slow down. I'm listening to you.
She's having too much fun. She's having too much fun. Anyway. So, yeah. I think the terrestrial kingdom will be full of pews facing pictures of adored false gods. You know? It says, and we'll be absolutely stunned. We'll have billions of variations on Jesus Christ, but that aren't Jesus Christ. Too many Christians who say that they really don't have to do anything, that it's all done by Christ's grace, and you go, wow, that's going to be a big screen jumbotron in a huge arena filled with people swaying back and forth and singing praise songs. And they're all going to be exactly blissfully happy about it, because this is exactly what heaven was for them. Was going to Christian rock concerts and having people tell them how fantastic this Jesus is. The one on the jumbotron that doesn't move, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't really did something a whole long time ago. He's done now. It's over.
Put up a picture of Jonathan Griffin.
You sure?
To me, I look at him and I look at all the disciples that he has, his apostles, and I look at them and I say, would Christ look like that? And you know what? The only one that I picture kind of looking like Christ is Jonathan Brantley.
Yeah.
And I'm probably totally off base. He probably looks nothing like him.
I have no idea how it looks.
Me either, but I'm just saying, I've asked myself, I sat there and studied each of the apostles, and I've studied Jonathan, and it's like, yeah, I picture him looking more like Christ than any of these other guys.
I take some consolation. Lisa has this big picture of Jesus.
Yes.
And is of Jesus praying to his mother. And that's pretty much it. You know?
But his head is kind of down because, you know,
he's
bowing his head in reverence.
Okay.
So you really can't see all of his features. Especially, you know,
it's not important to know what he looks like.
His eyes or the color of his eyes.
I don't think that's what's meant by knowing God, is being able to pick him out in the crowd. You know, because he goes, oh, he's like that. He's dressed like this, and he looks like that, and he looks like that. Is that the proper... Is that a good proper posture of Jesus Christ? Many people adore the Christus, and the church has adopted this as a symbol. It's not bad, I don't think. But I'm totally happy with the one the depiction of him that we tend to have in our house, which is praying to the Father. Him being our example, showing us where our attention should be riveted, not on Christ particularly, but on the Father.
When I look at it,
I almost
see worry lines in his forehead, and I think, is he worrying for me? Is that why he's praying to Father? Because he's worrying about me, and I need to pull it together.
Not a bad approach to my perspective.
So.
We're gonna get earlier.
Well, I know. That's why I couldn't understand why you were wanting to leave at 8.
I did not say a word. You said
no.
We need to get out of here by 8.
No, I asked you.
Well, then we totally miscommunicate all the time.
Yeah.
I try to make sure that you get what you want, because if you don't, you have problems.
I was expecting you to be upset with me because it was after 8 when I said, I think I'm ready. And then I had to come back and get my phone.
It's nothing. I know the trip here only takes about an hour.
Yeah.
But you always kind of call this too, and it's like, it's fine. We'll go early. We'll be there. Hopefully there'll be somebody there, and they'll just be saying, okay, we can do it. We can take you now.
That'll be nice.
Of course, then we won't have anything to do for even longer. Anyway.
We're going to go to Walmart. We're going to look for stocking stuffers.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, but it's a terribly exciting recording.
Yeah.
Woohoo! About all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Worshipfulness. And who you are striving to worship. The Christians make it easy by making no distinction between Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Even though they actually have a concept of a difference between them, they don't act like it.
And they pray, Dear Lord Jesus,
Jesus.
And it's like when Jesus gave an example of praying, he said, Heavenly Father, not pray to me, dear Lord Jesus. You know?
Uh-huh.
So.
And you go, that's okay. That's what you're ultimately going to get. You have no concept of the larger thing of Heavenly Father. If anybody tries to share it with you, you scream and tell them to go away.
Glorious.
I don't like Latter-day Saints. Go away. I hate the Book of Mormon. I hate you. I've been taught to hate you.
That is so Christian to hate. Let me tell you.
Some of them don't, but most of them do. You're trying to divert us from the true faith. You go, from your faith, yes. Let me tell you, I don't give Latter-day Saints a pass. I'm constantly poking at them.
Yeah, you are.
Is that horrible? Being a Latter-day Saint doesn't exempt you from going off in a weird direction. But yeah, it says, you know what? They'll be in the you know, I don't know what the cutoff is between the terrestrial and being being a ditch digger in the celestial kingdom. I have no idea what that difference is. I do have to say that I think when the time of judgment comes and you're told what you have basically earned, I think many people who have earned and perhaps even justified themselves a place in the celestial kingdom will choose to go to the terrestrial instead because they prefer it. Because I think the celestial kingdom is a gosh awful lot of work. You know, just continue to do work. Work this, work that, do this, do that. You know, assignments come from God, ultimately.
If my body didn't hurt so much, I would definitely do a lot. I find that I kind of enjoy it.
See? I think that is one of the aspects of the celestial kingdom. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got a job to do. Everybody's going about doing it. If you'd rather be doing something else, you're really better situated going to the terrestrial kingdom. Because there's really very, if there is anything to do there, it's very minimal.
Well, I'm sure you'll have an HOA to keep up with.
To make sure that you're towing that line.
Sure, it's like a gated community, and each of those homes have an HOA on them.
Oh, yeah. Not
each of those mansions.
You'll have those, you'll be living in some kind of a mansion. It's not going to be yours. The mansion for the Joel Osteen worshipers. You know. He doesn't talk about Jesus a lot, apparently. Mr. Prosperity Gospel. Anyway, he says, yeah. He says, you'll have that picture of him. Because Joel is probably not being the kind of guy he is. He's probably going to get himself into trouble. He's not going to be able to go to the terrestrial kingdom where you are. But you'll be able to watch his recordings. You know? The cleaned up version of him. Yeah? Instead of the guy that was at some hotel room or something screwing some.
So you don't need to
bring that. Dubai, a little disciple. I apologize. Well, you have to know what happens to him. And I'm not saying that happened to Joel Osteen at all. I've known other Christian televangelists who have ultimately been caught doing these
things. Committing adultery. That's all you have to say.
Fine, committing adultery. Good gravy. All right. I wasn't going to get descriptive.
You?
Particularly.
New Bible is not descriptive. Okay, whatever.
Anyway. So he's not going to make it, but, yeah, a lot of his recordings, you're going to have a lot of jumbotron. With those people up there being worshipped. Isn't that just fantastic? And I'm here with all of my people that believe exactly the way I do. Oh, at least close enough that it works. And we don't want those Latter-day Saints here. And you go, well, you won't have very many of them. And most of them aren't very good Latter-day Saints, so you don't have to worry about them. They aren't going to be sitting here making you feel guilty or anything like that. We're trying to get you to go someplace else. Although, that might be what they do all the time. Just constantly shift from one group to another according to their proclivities. I don't know. But yeah. Nice dormitories. I picture it as dormitory life. It's okay. A lot of people love that stuff. Well, they aren't going to be married. There is no need to have a big mansion when you have no family. Anyway, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm probably going to stop this soon because I think Lisa's getting somewhat perturbed with me, and I need to stop while Lisa still likes me.
It almost feels like you're being very judgmental toward certain people.
What?
You know, you're not God. You don't know if he's going to forgive those
people. I'm trying to.
I know you're trying to use examples.
I'm trying to figure out. No. Just, well, to say the whole thing of, says we've got to be careful about who we're following over, who we're worshiping, and make sure it's the right person. Because isn't that the big thing about the last days? There's going to be false Christs, false prophets everywhere.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah. It says, and that's what's, that's. That's okay. That's their version of heaven, like I was talking about. It says other people have a totally different view of heaven than you do. It's just the funny part is, when we think about heaven, it isn't really probably the celestial kingdom. Which is just because, just don't, you know, we got too much of a Protestant soul. It's kind of goofy. It gets you to a certain point, I think. And it certainly doesn't want you to go beyond that. Chastise you if you try to get out. It's those darn frogs in the boiling water, man. That's okay. I understand. They're going to end up going to a place that they're really going to enjoy. And there's going to be pictures of the kind of Christ that they wanted. It doesn't demand much from them at all. Yeah. And then they'll be very happy. I have no compunctions that my ancestors will not be very happy with their fate. But they will have to be happy with that fate after knowing what they could have done. Because that's what the Lord gives everybody. You have to know what's possible. And then you can make your decision. Do you want this? And I go, because I think honestly it's a whole lot of work. You know? I don't think Heavenly Father just lounges a lot.
Do you think Bran?
What, who?
Do you think Bran has changed her vision of what she wants to have into something else?
Can't say. Maybe. Work's been done for her. So that if she decides she wants something else, she might, she probably can have it.
Yeah.
So, regardless. Yeah. There's been talks given about the fact that we are our own judges. Miller Bednar gave just recently about where we really want to go. Now that's prefaced by what we can handle. It's like me saying, oh, I can go out and buy this piece of property, and Lisa saying, oh, but you're going to have to make it beautiful. And it's like, well, then I don't want the property particularly. Lisa's going to make that demand a little bit. She says, of course, Lisa pictures that I'm going to have. I don't think she pictures that. I'm sorry. She's trying to talk me out of it, which is saying, well, the stipulation of you doing this is you got to clean it up. And it's like, well, then that just blows the whole thing because it's not cleanable. given $1 million for me putting in $1 million worth of something, labor, I don't know. A lot of that stuff has to be hauled off, and that's not something that just costs $20. It's a lot of garbage. Anyway. Sometimes we have beautiful pictures in our heads, and it's just not going to happen. Or we're not willing to make it happen. And in doing that, you know, we say, well, I'm not going to go that way. And that's kind of a tricky thing. Yes, ma'am. All right. Lisa's boy, Lisa never gets around to tell me, hey, cat, dude, wrap it up.
I didn't say it like that.
I think you better wrap it up. I love you. It's okay.
So you should wrap it up.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
It's
I know.
It's been an hour, you know?
Yes, ma'am. It's for posterity. You're another father's freaking whack job.
TL2L? TLTL? Too long to listen?
See y'all later. Talk to y'all later. Bye-bye.